Well, it's a privilege to be with you. And what a difference looking into an audience like this, so distinguished, so appreciative in comparison to what I've been in during these past many years. We usually have just a small group of people around the Word of God, and sometimes, as in South Africa, it's well over 1,000. But here we are this morning, and we come to the Word of God. Now let's turn to Psalm 119, and we're reading the first 8 verses. Because this is the alpha of this marvelous psalm that sets forth the inexhaustibility and fullness of the Word of God to all our hearts. So let's look at it. What God says is more important than anything I have to say. If you have a Bible like I have, then up at the top of Psalm 119, you have a little figure. It's called Aleph. That's the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And if you're going to a university and you're an immigrant or you've come from the far corners of the earth, like the people are gathering over these years back to the land of the Bible, then you enter into your class. And the first thing they teach you as you would go to a school is the alphabet. A stands for apple in English, B stands for boy. Now, here you have Aleph, where we get the word elephant from, which means chief, preeminent, or first. So let's read about it now with that in view. Aleph. Oh, the blessedness of the undefiled in the way who walk in the Torah or walk in the law of the Lord. Oh, the happiness of they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. So there's an end there, and he teaches us the mind of God. Now here's a prayer. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. And this is the result. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respected to all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous or thy true judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. I'm sure the Lord will bless the reading of his word. Now, this is called the golden ABC of the praise and the love and the power and use of the word of God. The single sentence in the New Testament is, every scripture or all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for 4 things. That's 2 Timothy 3:16. But way over here in Psalm 119, you have the greatest oration of the Word of God. And my desire is that you might be able to grasp a little of the beauty and the wonder and the power and the treasure of the Word of God. Because it's by the Word of God we live. It's by the Word of God we're kept. It's by the Word of God we're directed. It's by the Word of God we're fed. And it's by the Word of God that we have the assurance of what lies over the threshold, our destiny. And if it comes to things today, we know it's a lamp to our feet. That's personally. But it's a light to our path. Now, how marvelous to have a book like this. You see, the Psalms are divided into 5 sections. And they all correspond, of course, as you know, to the Pentateuch. And every one of them ends with the doxology. But the book that Jesus loved better than all other books is the book of Deuteronomy. He quoted 3 times because the emphasis in Deuteronomy is the Word of God. Now you come to the 5th section of this marvelous book, the book of the Psalms. And you have the emphasis on the Word of God. So it's only proper that this psalm appears here. It's got 176 verses, as you can easily see, but it's divided into 8 verses each. So the first verse starts with A, the second verse starts with B, or with A, all the way through 1 through 8. Then you come to the word Beth, and that's the word for house. And how can I establish a house? How can we build for God? Whether it's my personal home or it's a household of faith, how can I build? He teaches you through that little letter Beth, or Bethany and Bethel and Bethphage and Bethlehem. Those are all words that have deep meaning. And then you go on to verse 17, and of course the next 8 verses has to do with the camel, the beast of endurance. The same root idea for the woman, the word for woman. If I don't know whether she's a miss or a missus, I just say Gaveret. Because she's built to endure, and thank God for the endurance of good women. And so you go on. But now you see, if you come to verse 73, up at the top you've got a little word, yod. That's the word for your hand. And that's why at the top of verse 73, you got this little word, yod. Thy hands have made me. And that gives meaning to every word and every sentence that follows. Turn over to verse 129. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul doth keep them. The entrance of thy words give light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for thy commandments. That's the word for mouth. And then you come down to verse 161, that's the word for teeth, the development stage. And this is the way it goes. And God knows what he's doing. He put the alphabet together. And as far as I'm concerned, it may be the language of heaven. I do not know. But I certainly know that there's very few languages in the world like the language called Hebrew. And of course, as you know, the New Testament was written in Greek. But Greek is quite easy to learn in comparison to Hebrew. And that's why when you come to a chapter like this, it's the carpenter's level, it's the architect's rule, it's the mason's plumb line. In other words, it's the divine standard of God. And if my life is going to be governed or ruled by God in the proper way, and I'm to live a spiritual life, then I must have the Bible. I must walk with the Lord in the light of his word. I must take my stand upon the word of God. And when all other things fail and heaven and earth pass away, the word of the Lord is going to endure forever. Isn't it significant? When men like Confucius were rising up to give a whole new code of ethics to the vast millions of China, when Buddha was being raised up to teach his doctrine to the countless millions of India, especially the wealthy, God raised up a man like Ezra, a scribe of God, and he gave to him, no doubt, this memorable task to put the word of God together. And that's why so many people think our Bible closes on a horrible note, that is the Old Testament, a note of judgment. But the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, end on a glorious note. Going up to Jerusalem, and the word going up means worship. And the Old Testament ends on the note of worship, the last verse of the book of Chronicles. And when it comes to the New Testament, even so come Lord Jesus. It ends on the note of triumph, because everything about God is absolutely perfect. And God knew what was going to take place centuries before Jesus came. And when Buddha went over the country heralding the truth, I am the way, I am the truth. Jesus came into the world, and he heralded the truth. And you ask many Christians, and you say, well, what does it mean? What is truth? The Lord never answered Pilate. He never gave him an answer. Because only those who are of the truth hear the voice and are set free. But the word truth is a beautiful word. It's the first letter, the middle letter, and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And when Jesus says, I am the truth, he was simply referring, I am the alphabet of God. And if you want to understand the mind and heart of God, then come to my book. And so as in the old, it's Olive and Tav. And it's the word whom. They shall look upon him whom they have pierced. And he links the Old Testament and New Testament in the last book of the Bible, the first chapter, Revelation. And while the New Testament, I am Alpha and Omega, this is Olive and Tav, because it's a symbol of the cross. And here you have the marvel, the wonder of the Word of God. And the first thing he brings before us here is rather remarkable. If you have time, go down through these verses and pick out the I ams. Pick out the I wills. Pick out the I has. And it'll do something for your soul. Pick out the symbols. The Word of God is like a path for straightness and directness and narrowness. The Word of God, he tells us, it's like water to cleanse us. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his word? The word of God is like medicine. It's like honey, one of the best of all natural foods. And all through this, he gives you symbol after symbol of the Word of God. And so much of the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet, has to do with your body. And that's another significant thing. And I think that the pity of life is that you just begin to learn a few things from God, and you begin to get an understanding of God. And then it's time to put you in a box. But the marvelous thing, you come into this world with nothing. You're going out with nothing. But what you learn of God, you'll take with you. It'll stay with you for all eternity. My brother can't talk to me. He couldn't say anything much. But he could mumble the word, God help you. God help me. And I knew what he meant. Talk about God. It's sin. And even though the mind may be almost gone, even though the body may be all breaking up, the word of God in a person, it lives. And it brings deep, deep joy and a subtle peace. And so the first thing I learn here, how can I know the mind of God? How can I discover the heart of God? How can I feel after God and discover something of the wonders of the unsearchable riches of Christ? Well, come with me to this wonderful book called the Bible. And here he'll give you something for your heart, because he'll enlarge it. Here he'll give you something for your mind. You'll have more understanding than all your teachers. Here he'll give you something for your spirit. Because as he opens to you the word of God, you'll behold things that you never dreamed of. Because eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of a man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his what? Spirit. And long before you get to heaven, you can taste the bread of God sent down from heaven. Long before you cross to the other side, you can taste and partake of the inexhaustible spring of, or fount of all blessing. And so here, look what he says. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. Oh, the blessedness of the man whose life is the practical transcript of the Word of God. Now notice, he says, the way, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. And he uses two terms. The way, because it's a straight way. It's a sure way. It's a safe way. And children are named after this word. It's the word for Derek. Because God has a way that even the birds of the air, they don't know. The beasts of the forest, they don't know. But to you and to me, to us who really know the Lord, God has revealed, this is the way, walk in it. And I've laid down the rules. I've set before you the path. This is the way, walk ye in it. And so he talks about the way, and he talks about the law, because the law comes from a root meaning to propel, to shoot an arrow. And the arrow is swift and direct. And it has to do with God's decalogue. And it has to do with your destiny. And these are 10. There's two here. These are 10 words that he uses. And I haven't time to go into them all, but he calls them testimony. That's a witness to the character of God. He calls them precepts. That's something that's engraved and can never be erased. And then he talks about statutes, something that's fixed forever. He talks about commandments that deals with the authority of God. He talks about judgments that has to do with the recompense of God, some for good, some for ill, some for retribution, some for reward, the recompense of reward. And all these words have meaning. And when you're reading your Bible, every word is God-breathed. Everything here is something for you, something for me. And what are we going to do when we get to heaven? Sit down and twiddle our thumbs and behold the wonders? Yes, we'll behold the wonders when we cross to the other side. And when we reach the eternal shore and we come face to face with our blessed Lord, we know that him, how his smile will recompense all that we have passed through. But what are we going to be doing? I believe when we get to heaven, God himself will take this marvelous word, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That means fixed. It's there. And he'll open up this word, and through it all eternity, He'll be showing us that every jot and every tittle and everything that pertains to this old book called the Bible, it has meaning. And we just begin to touch the surface. We just begin to get a little grasp of what lies over the threshold. And as our appetite is whetted, as we desire the good things of God, as we taste and see something of the Lord's marvel and wonder as to His Word, then here on this earth, we begin to see that the only thing that's eternal, the only thing that's going to last, is the Word of God. And every day of my life, I can have something of eternity about my being. That's why the Bible's called the Tanakh, because the first letter has to do with the Torah. The middle letter has to do with the Psalms. And the last letter has to do with the prophets. And so when you walk into a store in Jerusalem, you ask for a Bible, and you don't say B-I-B-L-E. Of course, we know what that means. Be instructed before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E. But when we walk into a Bible, into a store, we ask for a Bible, we would like to buy a Tanakh. Because the Tanakh, the Bible, is divided into three sections. And that's why on the road to Emmaus, he opened up the scriptures in the three sections, and you have the same thing in the New Testament. And when you put it all together, the three of the old and the three of the new, and when we all get to heaven, that'll be the final opening. That'll be the final exposition. And if our hearts here in the earth can burn when it comes to the things of God, and we pant like the water brook after the things of God, and we enter into some of these things, what will it be when the King comes? What will it be when we get to the other side? And you see, long, long before I've ever got to heaven, I got a little bit of heaven in my heart. Long, long before I cross over to the other side and my mind begins to break down and my body begins to wear out, I've got something that God has put within my being. And you might as well try to peel off my skin as try and take out of my life what God has put into it. And what's the secret? It's the Word of God. And that's why I'm living in a day when there's a famine of the Word of God. And now is the time to come to this Word. And he says, blessed are the undefiled. He's thinking of Noah, because Noah, it says, was perfect in his generation. The word means uncontaminated. He's thinking of Job, who walked through this world, a godly man, and he was uncontaminated. He was undefiled. How did that come about? Well, God revealed himself to them. And God reveals himself to us. And the design of God is to conform you to the image of the Word. And the Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us. And as he moved over this earth, he was the Word of God. But he was the living Word. I hold in my hand the written Word. And you never can divorce them. And so, here we have, the blessedness of the undefiled in the way. Because the knowledge of God and His Word hasn't to do with the brains. Can a man by searching find out God? No! Finding God is a matter of faith. And blessed are the pure in heart. They shall what? See God. And when he's talking here about the uncontaminated, those who are undefiled. God is teaching us here, if you follow in the way that I have ordained, if you go along this path, it'll grow and grow as the morning sun unto the perfect day. And then he says, who walk in the law of the Lord, and if you take my standard and you follow my rule, only blessing can attend you now, and as to the hereafter, forever and forever and forever. And so, he sets forth, right at the opening of this section, he sets forth the way of God, the walk of God, and the will of God. And all that's bound up in the very first verse. And as the Spirit of God opens it, you'll see that there's meat. You'll see that there's honey. There you'll see that here is something like a sword to pierce. And we discover our littleness, our shallowness, our superficialness. And God says, the blessedness of those that keep or treasure his testimonies. And those that seek him. Because how can I do business with God who is perfect in all his ways, in his character, absolutely trustworthy. How can I do business with God if my heart is divided? And so he speaks about those who seek him with the whole heart. And there's no person on the face of the earth, a simple childlike believer that comes to God and wants to get to know God, God will reveal to him things he never dreamed of. And that's why you don't need to know the original languages, and you don't need to have all this knowledge that puffs a man up. But the knowledge of God breaks you down. The knowledge of God bows you in the dust. And you discover something of his majesty. You discover something of his glory, something of his greatness. And then you see him in his greatness. And then you learn something of his lowliness. And the eternal God became a little Jew boy. And he was born in a place called Bethlehem. And of all the places on the earth to grow up, he grew up like a tender plant in Nazareth. And as he moved across this world, the world his hands had made, they saw no beauty in him that they should desire him. Why? It takes the eye of faith to discover, who is this? Who is he? He's the Lord, the King of glory. And as we discover who he is, and we walk through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we discover that God's standard could never be fully realized through the law. But the law was a schoolmaster who gives us the lesson, and he sets before us the precepts. And we discover in the law something of God's holiness, and we could never match it. We could never measure up to it. But God, in his infinite wisdom and marvelous love, he opened the heavens, which was absolutely something a Jew could never comprehend. And he who was God pitched his tent on the shores of time, out of the ivory palaces, and he walked this world. And wherever he went, he was the Word of God. Because God's design is that you might get to know him. God's design is that you might discover him. And as you get to know him, and as you follow him, and as he feeds you with the bread of God sent down from heaven, as you seek him with all your heart, you discover that thou hast commanded us certain things. Thou hast also said that we're to do no iniquity. We're to walk in his ways. Well, that's hopeless. How can I, as a mere man, walk this path? But you see, God has a design for us. And God has reached down, as it were, like in the book of Genesis. And while he's the great creator, he desired a people for his name. And that's the meaning of the second book of the Bible, the name. And 70 souls went down into Egypt. And you see the steps of God, how the Almighty God in Genesis, the powerful God in Exodus, the Holy God in Leviticus, the God of faithfulness in Numbers, the God who has never broken a promise in the book of Deuteronomy. And I learn and I discover that I'm a sinner in Genesis. I'm a son who's been called out of Egypt and all that it means in Exodus. And then as a saint, I discover that I'm to worship God, I'm to learn of God, and I enter into the meaning of the book, the third book of the Bible. And I come into Numbers, and I discover that God knows the perils of the way. God knows the path that he's put me on. And God knows all that I'll meet up with, even to Balak, and even to Balaam. And at the end of this age, the powers that be will be controlled by a Balak. And they will have the witch doctor, the false priest, Balaam, and they will hinder God's people from taking up their possession. And all that's true according to the Word of God. And when we cross over into Deuteronomy, we discover that all that God has said, all that God has promised, he's able to perform. And he sets before us something about the character of God in the book of Deuteronomy as no other. Now you come to a book like this, the fifth book of the Psalms, and you see and discover something of the character of God. And God is absolutely true. And that's why here I see his way. Here I discover I can walk with the Lord. Oh, the happiness of the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And God's man came to this earth, and he set the Lord always before him. Nothing moved him. Nothing turned him aside until he had finished the work that God had given him to do. And he walked that path to the glory of God and finished his work. We are only servants. And he actually says, they don't practice iniquity. In other words, they don't practice that which is crooked. These people live uncontaminated in the world in which they live. They're a separate people. They're a distinct people. They're a God-chosen people. They're a God-elected people. They have an undivided heart. And as people, they're overcome. They overcome. They're unconquered by this world. Because to overcome the world, even our faith. And you see, this is all in line with the teaching of God. Do I know anything about it? Well, inasmuch as the Word of God has a place in my heart, inasmuch as the Word of God comes home to my heart in freshness and reality, and Jesus Christ is real because the Holy Spirit makes him real, if this be so, then it is possible to live to the glory of God and to keep free from crookedness, keep free from hypocrisy, keep free from that which smells of this present evil world. And that's why it's such a marvelous thing to be in company with the Lord Jesus. Take knowledge of him. Others will see it. They know where we dwell. You can't hide it. And that's why I think that when he naturally says here, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. And there's two things here. This is the method that God adopts. Because God's mind is revealed, just as we have seen it in the book of Exodus. God needed a man. He raised up Moses. God devised a means whereby he'd bring his people out of bondage. And he worked it all out. And then God has a way of teaching his people through the message of redemption and taking them along the journey from Egypt to Canaan and into the tabernacle. And that's why the book ends in a blaze of glory. And that's the Christian life. Because the Christian life begins in the gloom, sinners, bondage, Satan. But it all ends well because I'm on the right track. I'm going the right way. I have the Word of God. This is my standard. And so he says here, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I respect unto all thy commandments. But he's speaking here in the form of a prayer. And I feel that when it comes to the knowledge of God, I need more than the original languages. I need prayer. And so I often come to my Bible. And I come to it just like someone comes with great expectancy. And I often get down on my knees and I read my Bible on my knees. And I say, oh, Lord, open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. And sometimes I can live on this one little word, one little verse, for days and days because it's real honey from the rock. And God speaks to my heart because I need direction. The Word of God gives you direction. I need diligence when it came to searching for about Jesus. Those men, when he was born, they didn't know, and they turned up the scriptures, and then they found it. And it says they searched diligently. And the enemy works this way all the time. But in the things of God, Peter tells us to give diligence. And as far as I'm concerned, getting to know God isn't for the lazy, the slothful, the careless. This takes work. This takes hours. But what God may not reveal, may reveal to me that takes hours, he could reveal something to you in a few minutes. Because God is no respecter of persons. It's your heart. Because the things of God are not understood so much up here. They're understood in the heart. And when I come to God in the proper attitude, the right spirit, then the Lord opens up this word. And I say, oh, Lord, I can only stand so much. And many a time I've done that. I can only take so much. I shut my Bible and go out for a walk. And if you're in this thing all the time, like we are as preachers, you need to have other exercises. My therapy is doing something around the house in the garden or something like that and seeing things grow. Because this book is a seed. It's something that's alive. It's something that's real. And God wants my life to be like this. He doesn't want me to be like a bag of bones. He wants me to be alive.
And even though the body begins to break, even though we begin to totter, the word of the Lord is strength. And as we wait upon it, we get it.
And then how does it all end? Why, it ends in a marvelous way. If I have a teachable spirit and I come to him the right way, because it ends on a glorious note. So you see, here you have God's mind. Here you have God's method, how he directs, and there must be diligence on my part. Then here you have God's message. That's why he says, then. And that's why this book of the law shall not be part of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, not study. All of us can do some meditating. All of us can turn things over in our mind. And as we meditate, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. That's inward. And then thou shalt have good success. That's outward. And if we go God's way according to Isaiah 58 and follow what God says, we'll have revival. Then our lives can become like a watered garden whose waters fail not. And so he says here, as he says in Hosea, then shall you know if you follow on. And he says then, and he leaves you a threefold promise. He says, I shall not be ashamed, and I'm not ashamed of my faith in Christ. I think the grandest privilege in all the world is just being a representative, a witness for him. And I just love to talk to different types of people because of my faith in Christ. And I feel that the righteous should be as bold as lion. It doesn't back up for anybody. And why should we? We have the message of God. We have the word of God. We have a solid foundation. And when all things are crumbling and thrones are toppling and people are at wit's end and so many people live in frustration and the whole world is going such a way that we cannot explain, yet we have something that's real, something that's absolutely sure. And in the midst of the shifting sands, on Christ the solid rock. And I've got the B-I-B-L-E, if that's the book for me. I stand alone in the word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. And so in verse 6, I shall not be ashamed. In verse 7, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. You see, there it is again, wholehearted for God. When I have learned thy righteousness, or thy true judgments, learn of me. And then verse 8, I will keep thy statutes, but I know my weakness. Because when there's something in my heart, a desire to follow and do the will of God, and I love the law of God, I love the word of God, I discover my own weakness. I know something of my own tendency. And I say, oh, wretched man, how can I do it? How is it possible for me to live this life? And I see here, I will keep thy statutes. And then the little prayer, oh, forsake me not. And that's why Peter knew something about this. And he sets it forth in such a beautiful way. He says, we're children in the family. Then he says, we're living stones built into the temple of God. Then he says, we're pilgrim and strangers going through this world. Then he ends up by telling us, we were sheep going astray, but we've returned to the overseer, the shepherd of our souls. You see, he had the right idea. This man has the right idea. Oh, Lord, don't abandon me. The work that you've begun in my soul, put the finishing touches on it. Work it out according to thy will, according to thy pleasure. Get glory unto thy name. For man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. How can I do it? Let's get back to the Bible. Let's get back to the basics of the Bible. And if the Bible has its proper place in my life, and I follow the teachings of the Word of God, and I'm persuaded that what God says is true and what he's revealed is right here in this book, then all that I need for time and for eternity is bound up in this blessed book, the B-I-B-L-E. And so I rest my case upon the authority, the inerrancy, the sufficiency of the Word of God. And I say, I have a wonderful treasure. The gift of God without measure. And time and into eternity, we're going to travel together, my Bible and I. O God, our Father, may the words of our lips, the meditation of our heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Our rock and our Redeemer, for Christ's sake. Amen.